This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers, elders, respected scholars, dear guests, sisters listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Seems a bit weird after hearing people with so beautiful voices that you hear somebody with me with a croaky, bunged up voice. But subhanallah, Qari Sahib's nasheed, which he just recited about the love salutation upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Arabic language, the word love is muhabba. In Urdu you call it muhabbat. It's most likely ripped off from the muhabba. I mean, we are known for number twos anyway. And it's derived from the root word habba. And the derivative and original source have a deep relationship with each other. See, when a farmer sows a seed, and that seed has the right environment, the land is fertile, there's plenty of rain, there's plenty of sun. You do anything with this reaper. Then that little seed blossoms and it becomes into something which is of benefit for human beings. It becomes fruit, vegetation. Becomes a beautiful tree which gives shade. Similarly, the derivative, mahabba. When you first meet somebody and you incline towards that person, the seed of mahabba is sown in the heart. And if that person reciprocates that love, then that love grows in the heart. And if that person that you are loving deserves being the object of love, then the entire heart is embellished with that love, not the entire heart, but the entire limbs. All you can do is think about that person. All you can do is speak about that person. Your limbs want to do things for that person. And if you want to see an example of this, you look into the love that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he reciprocated that love. Every Sahabi radiallahu anhum mentioned that when we were in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we actually felt that we were the closest person to him. This is the love that he would show. When he would shake their hand, there was no man who was more busier than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when he would shake their hands, he would not release it until they pull their hands back. When he would speak to them, he would turn totally towards them. And this is why Imam Tirmidhi mentioned in the Shama'il that a slave girl, could take the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take him to anywhere in Medina to assist her, he would assist her. Why do they mention a slave girl? Because the slaves were the lowest. And out of the slaves, the lowest were the females. Because he reciprocated that love. And this is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not only did he reciprocate the love, he was an object worthy of love. He was an object worthy of love. He created love. And also he nurtured that love and that tarbiyah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, but aflaha man zakkaha. Indeed, successful is that person who has purified himself. One of the duties of the Prophet ﷺ was yuzakkihim, to purify them. Now the word aflaha in the Arabic English language is loosely translated as success. But if you look at the derivatives of the word aflaha, one of the words is falah. Falah is a farmer. What does a farmer do? He sows a seed. But he doesn't just sow a seed, he works on that seed. He plows the land. He harvests through blood and sweat until that little seed becomes something of great benefit to humanity. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ did with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He created those who were regarded as fifth columns of humanity to being the best of creation after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to walk on the face of this earth. And this is why that the love that they had for him was unparalleled. When Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu was captured by the mushrikeen and he was brought to the outskirts of Makkah. And this is approximately where Masjid Aisha is today. And they wanted to kill him slowly. So they began to cut his flesh. And then they began to pierce him with their swords and their spears. And while he was going through this excruciating pain, Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim at the time, came to him. And he said, "Oh Khubayb, don't you prefer that Muhammad was in your place and you were in the comforts of your home?" And while he was going through this pain, he said, "I swear by Allah," and it's easy for me to say it and it's easy for you to listen. He said, "I swear by Allah, you're talking about this excruciating pain that I'm going through?" He said, "I swear by Allah, death is easier for me than a thorn pricked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting in Medina while it was going on. And then Khubayb asked them, "Could he read two rakats?" And they allowed him to pray two rakats. And when he finished, he turned toward the mushrikeen and he said, "I prayed two very short rakats because I didn't want you to think that I was scared of death." And then he supplicated to Allah. He said, "Allah, we believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe in you, and we follow the precept of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now convey my salams to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina, and Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "All of a sudden, I saw the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam well up. I saw his tears begin to flow." And he said, "Khubayb has just sent his salams." But it was on this occasion that Abu Sufyan, when he heard the reply of Khubayb, that death is easier for me than a thorn pricked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it was on this occasion that Abu Sufyan said, "I have sat with the emperors of Persia, and I have sat with the emperors of Rome, and I have seen the way their followers love them, and I have seen how Muhammad's followers love him, and I swear by Allah, the followers of the Roman and the Persian emperors don't love them like Muhammad's followers love him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was an object worth loving. He was an object worth loving. And this is why even animals saw the virtue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's amazing that animals saw it and Muslims have a problem seeing it. Upon occasion, one of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, they went past a tree and they saw a nest, and in the nest there was a chick, and he took the chick, and the mother began to fly around his head, and he captured the mother, and he came into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the chick and the mother, and it was in his sleeve. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What do you have in your sleeve?" And he took it out and he opened his hand. What happens when you open your hands, when you have a captured bird? It flies away. But the bird didn't fly away. Why? Because it understood that it was in a court where justice was imminent. And it complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabi, "Go and place the bird from where you got it from. Go and place the chick from where you got it from. when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed his Hajj, he sacrificed 63 camels. And this was a subtle indication to the lifespan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Raita mentions that the camels would be bought five after five. And he said, I swear by Allah, it was as though those camels were competing with each other to be sacrificed on the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They understood the virtues of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You could easily say, well, they were, you know, they could see, they could hear. The truth is that even inanimate objects saw his virtue. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, came to Medina, he would give his Jummah khutbah leaning upon a tree trunk. And then a lady came to him and she said, I have a slave who's a very good carpenter. If you wish, I would ask him to make a pulpit for you. And he agreed. And he came the next week and he ascended the pulpit. And this narration is tawatur, meaning that many sahaba were sitting there. And each one narrates it in his own words. And they say, when he ascended the pulpit, that the tree trunk, some narration mentioned that it began to shake like it was about to explode. Other narration mentioned it was like a she camel whose child had been dragged away from it. Others mentioned it was like a small child who had lost his parents. Others mentioned that it was like crying.
He said, why shouldn't I cry?
Didn't a tree cry over the departure of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why shouldn't I cry as a believer? And this is why those who loved him, really, they brought love to a different dimension. I often say, no mother has loved her child like Abu Bakr loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No child has loved his mother. No Romeo has loved his Juliet. No Juliet has loved her Romeo. No Majnoon has loved his Layla. No Layla has loved his Majnoon like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Umar ibn al-Khattab would say, who is Umar? You heard me say this many times. Who is Umar? Umar was mulham. He was a man that often his opinion would agree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if there was a prophet to come after me, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab. If Umar walks down one alley, shaitan cannot walk down that path. He said, last night I entered Jannah and I saw this beautiful white palace. And I wanted to enter into this white palace. And I asked the angels, who does this palace belong to? And they said, it belongs to Umar ibn al-Khattab. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Umar, I remembered your ghairah and I did not enter. And Umar turned around to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, ghayra from you? Umar would say, if I could give one night of my life, and one day and one night of my life, for a one day, if I could give the actions of my entire life, and the actions of my entire family, for one day and one night in the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I would. You know what that one day was? That one day was in the cave when they migrated, where Abu Bakr entered into the cave and he wanted to clean it up and he saw a number of holes and he took off his garment and he shredded it into small pieces and he filled the holes. And then he requested the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come in, and the Prophet came inside and then he lay on his thigh. And then there was one hole which he had no garment left for. So he stuck his foot upon it. And in that hole there was a snake. And it bit the foot of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Can you imagine the pain? Again I say, easy for me to say and very easy for you to listen. But can you imagine the excruciating pain? And he was going through the pain and he didn't want to wake up his beloved. Has there ever been a mother in history, you know, before the advent of huggies and pampers, when the children would wet themselves, the mothers would sleep on the wet side and they would put the children on the dry side.
But has there ever been a mother in history who was bit by a snake and she did not want to wake up her child? Has there ever been a woman or a man, a husband or a wife, who was bit by a snake and they didn't want to wake up their mahbub or mahbuba? Never! Because there has never been a person who loved another person like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He brought love to a different dimension. And he's going through this excruciating pain. And then the tears began to flow down his cheeks and they fell on the blessed cheek of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up. And he saw what Abu Bakr was going through. And he took his saliva and he placed it upon his foot. And it was as though he had never been bit by a snake. And you know what that night was? That night was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. When everybody else crumbled and Abu Bakr remained firm. You know what I often say? That whilst everybody else were rejoicing, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was crying. When the verse of Surah Nas is Aja'a Nasrullah wal Fath were revealed. When the help of Allah will descend. And you will see people entering into the deen upon army, the Sahaba were rejoicing. The help of Allah is going to come. The conquests are going to come. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting in the corner crying. Why? Because he understood that the latter verses were revealed regarding the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sat there crying. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave this final khutbah 2 days before he passed away, he felt better and he came and he prayed salah behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr was going to move back and he told him, remain on your place. I mean, what kind of greater honor can you have than that? The man who led the Anbiya in salah, Abu Bakr had the honor of leading him in salah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the pulpit. And he gave this parable, this example of a man who has been given a choice of remaining in the dunya or moving unto his Lord. And he had chosen to move unto his Lord. And all the other Sahaba thought it was just an example, a parable. But Abu Bakr understood that it was referring to the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he began to cry uncontrollably. And Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu mentioned, I saw him crying and I was thinking, why is this old man crying for? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him and he said, oh Abu Bakr, calm down, Abu Bakr, calm down. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, subhanallah, he said, whoever has done me a favor in this dunya, I have repaid their favor. As for the favors of Abu Bakr, Allah will repay him on the day of judgment. And if I was to take anybody as a friend, I would have taken Abu Bakr as a friend. But the brotherhood of Islam is enough. And then he said, all the doors to the masjid should be closed. Illa khawfata Abi Bakr, beside the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the day he passed away, this was the day Umar radiallahu anhu was referring to. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came into the masjid. You can imagine the state of the Sahaba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anybody is ever afflicted with a calamity, then remember my death, because it will dwarf any other calamity. And you have to be amongst those people who live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to really understand what he meant. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu cried his crying. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he came into the masjid, he passed through the masjid, and the blessed body was lying in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr. And he came into the house, and he removed the sheet from the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he kissed him upon his forehead, and he said, Tibta hayyan wa mayyitan ya Rasulullah. He said, O Messenger of Allah, you are beautiful in life, and you are as beautiful in death. And then he came out, and Umar ibn al-Khattab was saying, whoever says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, I will remove his head from his body. He's only gone to meet Allah like Musa went to meet Allah. He will be back. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh Umar, calm down. Umar, calm down. And Umar was inhabiting it. And then he gave his final khutbah. You know what kind of man Abu Bakr was? He wasn't a big guy, but he had a big heart. Today we have many big guys. The big guys do it for the wrong reasons. And we don't have enough people who have big enough heart for the truth. And that's the problem. We have enough sellouts. We have enough people, you know, who will go and beat up some other innocent person or somebody who's weaker than them. But will they ever do anything strong for the sake of Allah? They won't, because it dents their matterness. That's what it is. And the Prophet ﷺ spoke about the strong man. He said the strong man is the one who can control his anger. He who can punch out somebody's lights. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know what kind of man he was? Aisha radiallahu anhu narrates, he was thin. He was so thin that his trousers would not remain around his waist. SubhanAllah, he was so thin that his eyes had sunk in, that you could see the bones in his fingers, they would protrude because he was so thin. And when he would walk, he didn't walk with a step. He didn't walk with an attitude. He actually walked with a stoop. But they say Abu Bakr was the weakest in body. But when it came to the command of Allah, he was the strongest. We were the strongest. And he stood up and he gave his famous khutbah. And he said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat, wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." He said, "Whoever worshipped Muhammad, then let him know that he has passed unto his Lord sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever worships Allah, then let him know Allah is alive and death has never fallen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is eternal." And then he recited verses which are revealed on the battle of Uhud. And Umar radiallahu anhu mentions, "Then I realized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away and my legs could no longer hold me." Now wallahi, I ask you, compare our love to the love that these people have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we profess, you know, you look at our lives, who have we made our role model? Every other Tom, Dick and Harry we made our role models. The way they're telling you to behave is how we behave. We spend more time watching X Factor than reading the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tell you, you know, wear high heels, you wear high heels. They tell you wear low heels, you wear low heels. They tell you wear baggies, you wear baggies. They tell you wear tight, you wear tight. They tell you the Palestinian scarf is in fashion, and then you start wearing the Palestinian scarf. Bro, it's the cause. They tell you, you know, wear your trousers halfway up your backside, you wear your trousers halfway up your backside. I mean, who wants to see the color of your jebbi anyway? No, seriously, have some self-respect. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When your haya died, first mama shit, then you will do whatever you wish." You walk around with your jeans halfway down your backside, where's your haya, bro? But you do what they tell you to do. Because knowingly or unknowingly, you have made them their role model. You know how many people you see? You know, one of the greatest attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he brought the ummah together. He created one ummah. And what do? We take the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we divide the ummah. So we say, "Bro, I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know me, I'm a real lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And him over there," and I'm not having a go, but really analyze yourself. Or analyze other people. They say, "You know him over there, he don't love the Prophet, he's a Wahhabi." That's what they say. You know, me, you know, I'm an Ashik and Rasul. When I say Ashik, I'm not speaking about Arabic Ashik, I'm speaking about Urdu. Because Ashik and Arabic and Urdu has a different meaning. So I'm an Ashik and Rasul. Him, he's a Wahhabi. And that brother who you're calling a Wahhabi, he's got a beard coming down to here. He prays five times in the masjid because it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's got a miswak in his top pocket because he wants to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you are calling him Wahhabi. And me, the lover, the ashik, the rasool, come Fajr time, I can't wake up for Fajr Salah. You ain't no ashik, the rasool, you ashik a bed. You are ashik a bed, that's what you are. But see, what could be more gross? That you use the name of the greatest of creation to divide the ummah. You know how often you hear brothers saying, bro, I'm ready to die for the honor of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're not ready to live like the Prophet, you won't die for it? Bro, I'm ready to die for Islam. You're not ready to live for Islam and live like a Muslim, and you're ready to die for Islam? Empty slogans. The jihad of the West is not dying. It's living as Muslims. And you need to realize that. Don't come on with empty slogans. You look at our community. You know, look at our community. How defunct they are. How divided they are. Brothers start practicing. You know, practicing for a few weeks. Before you're practicing, you hate everybody. Anybody who's practicing, you hate them. Soon as you start practicing, you hate everybody who is not practicing and anybody who doesn't pray in your masjid. That's the state of the ummah. And me and you are a reflection of that. And we need to be a bit larger because we have little goals in life and hence we hold on to petty things. So we need to make, you know, our role models the greatest of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest of creation. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran, He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتْسَبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, O Messenger of Allah, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. It means you can't really love Allah until you follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Arabic language, the word tabi'a is a little calf. It comes from the root fattabi'uni. It's a little calf. It goes wherever the mother goes. And then Allah will love you in return. And this is why we need to make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our role model. When Allah says in the Quran, there are people who make equals unto Allah. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love those equals to Allah like they love Allah. Subhanallah. Knowingly or unknowingly, we have made many equals to the Prophet that we love equally as much. We knowingly or unknowingly, when you spend hours vegetating in front of your TV sets, and that's what you aspire for, knowingly or unknowingly, you have made those your role models. When the local drug dealer is your role model because he drives a 50-60,000 pound car because he sucked the blood of other people and that's what you aspire to, then you have, na'udhu billah, replaced the greatest of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for people who are the parasites of society. That's what you have done, knowingly and unknowingly. And therefore, when it comes to making role models, and I'll finish here, because I'm local, you know where to find me. When it comes to making, see, they say never give the Maulvi a pulpit because he never comes off. Never give the Maulvi a dawah, the stakhan, because he never gets up. So knowingly or unknowingly, we have made other people our role models. And we need to go back to making the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our role model. You know, when you speak about generous people, what comes to your mind? You ask me, Bill Gates, he's really generous. You know, Princess Diana, well, she was really generous. Can their generosity compare with the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Never! So why are you making them your role models? Why even the mention? Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that 2 days before the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ill. And he had only 7 dinars in his possession. That's all he had. And he said to me, he said, oh Aisha, give those 7 dinars in the path of Allah. And she said, I was busy attending to him. and I didn't have time. And when he regained consciousness, he said, oh Aisha, have you given those 7 dinars in the path of Allah? And Aisha radiallahu anha said, oh Messenger of Allah, I was busy attending to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Aisha, what will I do on the day of judgment when I will stand in front of Allah and I will have wealth in my possession? And Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And he didn't, and we didn't have even oil to burn the lantern in the house of the greatest of patients sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But wallahi, was there a house in history which was more lit up than the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? There wasn't. When you look at macho men and you make them your role models, then why don't you compare them with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fought with people for what? Not to beat people, not to bring them closer to Allah. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was a man called Ruqana. And Ruqana was the undisputed wrestler of his time. In those days, Umar ibn Khattab and Khalid ibn Walid were wrestlers. But nobody had ever defeated Ruqana. And upon occasion, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, oh Muhammad, if you beat me, I will embrace Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ got happy. He got elated. He said, will you actually embrace Islam if I beat you? He said, yes. And he grabbed Ruqana and he floored him. And Ruqana had never been floored before that day. And he stood up and he gave me the usual. Oh, I want looking. You know, my foot slipped. But the ulama mentioned, look at this. The Prophet ﷺ was ready, subhanAllah, he was ready to fight with people to bring him to the haqq. Compare that with us. You know, this sick concept of macho man that we have nowadays. This sick concept that we have. You know, somebody who can make somebody an orphan, somebody who can push drugs, who can carry a piece, he's our role model for our youngsters. Why? The reason is because we have failed to give them alternative role models. If your church told your child about Khalid and Walid before they slept, they would have looked up to the local drug dealer. If you had given them examples of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, they would have looked at other people. But did we do that? No. We told them Cinderella. That's what we told them about. And Ruqana stood up again and he said, give me another chance. And the Prophet ﷺ grabbed him and he kicked him again. And Ruqana was shocked. It never happened to him before. And the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Ruqana, if you hang around with me, I will show you greater things than me battering you. And Ruqana said, what could be more greater than this? And the Prophet ﷺ indicated towards a tree. Then the tree ripped through the earth and it stood in front of the Prophet ﷺ. And it bore witness that there is no God but Allah and you are his messenger. And the Prophet ﷺ turned to Ruqana and he said, oh Ruqana, I told you, hang around with me and I will show you things which are greater than me battering you. But this was the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And the examples go on and on. We live in a shallow society where you judge people by how good looking you are. So you've got plenty of hair, then you might become Prime Minister. That's where William Hague lost out. You know, you're good looking. But good looks are, only skin deep. But if that is what you're looking at, then is there anybody's looks who could compare with the looks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Jabir radiallahu anhu mentioned, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of a full moon. And I looked at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I looked at the full moon. And I looked at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then I looked at the full moon. And then I looked at his face again, and I looked at the full moon. He said, I swear by Allah, the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more radiant and more beautiful than the full moon. Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that the women of Zulaykha had seen my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wouldn't have cut their fingers, they would have cut their hearts. Do you know what this story? Tell your children this story tonight. Of Zulaykha is. Zulaykha was the wife of the Aziz. She was an honorable woman and she fell in love with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, who was a slave. And the news spread around that she was infatuated with this slave. So the other honorable women started to say, how did she fall in love with him? Let me put it in a context that you can understand it. How did Raja Sahib's daughter fall in love with so-and-so? I won't mention. How did Raja Sahib's daughter fall in love with him? So she gathered all the women and she gave them an apple. And she said, cut the apple. And while they were cutting the apple, she told Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to walk past. The Prophet ﷺ said Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was given half of the beauty of humanity. And when he walked past, they saw his beauty. They were so immersed in his beauty. Whilst they were cutting the apple, they cut through their fingers and they did not even feel the pain. Aisha radiallahu anha mentions, if the women of Zulaykha had seen my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have cut their hearts and felt no pain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who love people like our Sheikh, our Honorable Sheikh, who's here today. But Allah, you know, his recitation revives the heart. His recitation revives, it touches the heart. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all united in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not allow little issues to divide us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannatul Firdaws.